the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
We're going to be broadcasting stuff out to you, so we're going to be throwing it out. Just grab what you can as it sails past. I don't think everything will stick, but the great thing is we're all different, and we all have our unique characters that God has given us. And as we approach whatever God is teaching, he will teach us as an individual, as who we are. So something I say may be really relevant to one person, somebody else just doesn't care. And the other way around. So the good thing is, as I throw things out, don't worry if you think, who cares about that? Wait for the next thing, and hopefully there'll be something there that you can sort of take away. So the format we're going to take about, we're going to be thinking about scripture, how Jesus used scripture. So we're going to focus on that Luke chapter 4 passage. Then we're interested in sort of practical times. What does that actually mean? How do we apply scripture in our life? And then Rose is going to take us through a sort of a meditation at the end. So we're going to follow through, and I'm going to go at lightning pace. So here goes. First thing that Jesus did when he had with scripture was he knew his Bible. He knew his scriptures. To him, of course, that was the Old Testament books. So when he was tempted, he quoted from scripture, and he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. All three times that he responded to the devil's temptation, he quoted from scripture, he quoted from Deuteronomy. And I don't think that's because he had some sort of instant revelation. It didn't suddenly come to him. His father revealed those very verses to him. Or it wasn't a bit of luck. He thought, just had a pocket Old Testament in the back of his robe. He took it out and just found the right place. I think it's because he had spent time reading scripture. And if Jesus needed to do that, how much more do I need to do that? How much more do I need to read this word of God? So, Jesus knew his scripture. And this is something I found really interesting. He accepted the authority of scripture. Jesus was the Son of God, the firstborn over all creation. All authority was given to him. He knew the Father before the creation of the world. He had a perfect relationship with the Lord. He created all things. All things were made through him. All things are sustained by him. And yet, he still accepted the authority of Scripture. When the word said something, he listened and obeyed and followed it. He put himself under the authority of Scripture. And that is a hard word for so many people today. Authority is... People push back, and I'm the same. If somebody tells me to do something, your first reaction, no, I don't want to do that. But we are people under the authority of God and under the authority of his word. Someone, when he was talking about why he left Christianity, and he put it like this, I thought with a fantastic degree of honesty, really, he said, ultimately, why I left is that the Christian God demands that you submit to his will. I thought that was very honest, because so many people do not want to submit to the will of God as expressed in Scripture. And we all face that challenge in the world around us. But we are people who are of the book, and we sit under the authority of Scripture, not over Scripture. So when we approach Scripture, we do as Jesus did, and we accept its authority in its life. It will have no influence on our lives. God will not be able to use it if we do not accept its authority. What else did Jesus do? Well, he used the power of Scripture. He knew the power of Scripture. So when he was tempted, he used Scripture against the devil. He knew it had power in his life, in the world around him. And so when we face problems, we need to let Scripture speak to us. Rose already said that Scripture should sort of comfort and challenge us. I've heard it described as Scripture should sing and sting. At times it will make us want to sing with joy and excitement about what God has done, his great character and all he's achieved. And other times it will sting, a as it challenges our behaviours and attitudes of how we approach life and the actions we take. And so Scripture for us should sing and sting. And naturally, by temperament, we will tend to want to veer to one side or the other. Some of us like to sort of beat ourselves up and say, oh, all these things I've got to do. I know I'm not worthy, Lord, but we struggle. And other people say, hallelujah, all the time. We need to let Scripture do both. We need to let it raise us up, but also to challenge us. As it challenges us, that will be God working in us, and that will turn into praise, and it will carry on like that. It will continue to sing and sting in our lives. What else did Jesus do? Well, when he went to the synagogue, fantastic bit, if you've got your Bibles with you, worth looking at. He's invited to speak. So what does he do? He takes the scroll. Now, I'm not sure whether he was given the book of Isaiah because he chose it or it was given to him. But again, he knew where he was going. He unrolled it. So he knew his scripture. He knew where to go to. So he unrolled the scroll. So we would flick to the right page. We had to unroll it. Got to the right place. He spoke. Announced the acceptable day of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. And you can imagine the silence there. Where's he going with this? What's he going to say? And he says something almost unimaginable. He says, it's fulfilled. This scripture is fulfilled, and it's fulfilled in him. So when we come to the Bible, we are coming to the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just his time on earth, but all of his existence, from before he came to this earth when he was with his Father, all through his birth and life and death and resurrection, and now when he's seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. The whole of the Bible is the story of the whole of God's work through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we come to the Bible, when we come to look at Scripture, we need to do it with sort of lenses on which are Jesus-coloured, Jesus-tinted. We look at Scripture through the lens of Jesus. And that helps us understand the story, God's story, and the story he has for us. Because it's, I don't know, maybe you're not like me, but it's very easy to dip into different bits of the Bible and to see them in isolation. And you pick a few favorite verses. But there's a whole story of God's redemption of a people right from when he made Adam and Eve until we see the new heaven and earth, the new Jerusalem. And there's a story that as God makes, brings, calls a people for himself, calls his people. If you're a believer here tonight, God has called you into his kingdom. You are one of his. And as he calls you, you are part of his story. You are part of the story he has for this world that he's been doing over these thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You are part of that story. And you need to read the Bible in the same way as a story. So to do that, you need to dip into it. You need to see the whole of Scripture. There's a danger of picking and choosing. Pick the bits you're not so familiar with. Maybe get a book. Maybe look online, get a video. Things like the Bible course we did here at Belmont. Excellent for getting the full story. There's loads of resources. So try and understand the whole picture and how that bit of Scripture fits in. And then you can think about how you fit into God's story. So that's very quickly some of the aspects of what Jesus thought about Scripture. We have to do the same. I'm now going to start really throwing these things out to you. So there's going to be loads of practical stuff here. I'm going to be looking at the themes from John Mark Comer's book. He talked about when in practicing the way we read Scripture, we meditate on Scripture, we study Scripture, we memorize Scripture. And more or less what I'm going to be doing is giving you ideas. Some of these, I will freely confess, I don't use myself. I don't find them so useful. I know others do. So it may not work for me, but it may work for you. Whatever I do, take some things away. So first thing, we need to read Scriptures. It's sort of obvious, really, isn't it? If you don't read it, you know, you can't absorb it, you can't take it in. Slightly unusual. You think most of the centuries since the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, most people couldn't read. So when I say read, what I'm really saying is taking scripture on board. So listening to it or reading it. If you can read, that's great. I know some people struggle with reading. That's fine. Not all of us have the same gifts and the same abilities, and not all of us find reading as easy. Whatever mechanism you use, you need to get scripture into your life. So if you don't find reading that easy, there's a load of audio resources these days. You can go online, you can get CDs. Is it still, CDs still exist? I think they do, don't they? But whatever the modern equivalent is of a CD. I was going to say tape for a while, but that would really date me. But you can get the whole Bible available with a different variety of accents, not necessarily American, which is so much of it seems to be. You can get English accents and different sorts of accents. So if you find it difficult, use audio. Though I will say, don't just have it on as background music. You do need to focus. It's not some sort of, by the sheer fact of listening, that it's good for you. You do need to take it on board. And the same goes when you're reading. If, like me, I find reading quite easy, but it's a real danger, it becomes a mechanical process. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this. Even when reading scripture, I've got to the bottom of a page, and I realised, how did I get there? I don't remember any of the text that went above it. I just mechanically read down. Now, I could say, tick, job done. I've done my devotional. I haven't read it. I need to go back and reread it. So whatever means you use to take scripture on board, just spend some time, concentrate, focus, and maybe don't try and bite off too much. If you're finding some passages too long, just cut them down. Use less. God can speak through half a page rather than a full page. He can speak through five verses rather than a full chapter. So that's about reading. When you do read, pick a translation that works for you. Not so much in this congregation, it's an issue, but certainly in some churches, there's a real emphasis on particular translations. Those are the best ones, the ones you should use. Use anything else and you're a bit on the edge. We're all different, and we all respond to language differently, and we are incredibly blessed that we can pick different translations. So pick a different translation. But if possible, occasionally use a different translation. And I find that helpful. Use one that I'm not so comfortable with. The reason is it makes you slow down and concentrate on the words a bit more. So maybe a different sort of style or sentence structure or just more difficult words, whatever it is. The fact it's not something you're familiar with makes you slow down, makes you read it a bit more. And there's loads of Bible reading notes available. Bible reading notes you can use. Have a go with some of them. Again, have a taste. See what works. Use what works. Don't use what doesn't work. Don't persevere if it's not doing you any good. But there's Bible reading notes for every taste and temperament, for every subject. All I would say is, make sure you mix up your subjects. Don't just focus on the same things again and again. So that was reading, meditating. Now, the idea of most people meditating, if you talk in the world, is almost about an emptying of yourself. Well, the difference with biblical meditation is you're filling yourself with God and his word. And to do that, you need to slow down, you need to concentrate. So try and get rid of some distractions. Some people describe it as chewing on scripture. So imagine if you're reading a passage, and probably best to keep it relatively short. Take a word at a time. Taste each word. Chew on it. What does it mean? What does that word mean in the context of the passage? What does it mean to me? Scripture is something you absorb. And one of the ways you can absorb it is through meditation. And Rose is going to take us through a meditation in a moment, just a couple of minutes' time. And we will try that. Just try what a meditation looks like. We're going to use something called Lectio or Lectio Divina. I apologize if anyone's good at Latin. I'm old enough that I did Latin at school. I was also so bad that I was allowed to give it up. So Lectio Divina, whatever the correct pronunciation is, but it's an ancient, long-regarded mechanism to use. So The next one is study, that John Mark Comer puts up in his book. This is about understanding the scripture, understanding the history and the culture of the people and what it meant to the original hearers and what it means to us now. Now, I just want to say something very simple. You can study scripture without being a theologian. You can study scripture without knowing Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek. There's guidance available, there's study guides available, which will really help you get into the word and get to understand it. If you're a bit stuck, talk to somebody who you respect, who knows you to know the Bible, or go down to Bridge Books, ask them for some advice. And there's study guides available for all levels of understanding, from those who like something a bit more basic, through to those who will look at each Greek word and try and unpack it. And you will find your level somewhere in there. So, and I do suggest you can always go online. So nowadays, amazing number of resources online. So the Bible Society has all sorts of resources. The Bible Project, some great videos. And there's online sermons as well. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I never heard him speak in real life. Nearly all his sermons are online for free. And all sorts of other speakers. If you've got a preferred speaker, you may not be ever be able to get to hear him or her, but you can go along to the internet, and there they are. I'm going to wrap up in a moment. Last one, memorize. Well, it's simple to it. It says, we talked earlier about some of the verses and passages that had a particular impact on you. Well, maybe it's a good idea just to memorize those so you can bring those to mind. All things work together for the good of for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. And if you're struggling with, you know, what's happening in my life, being able to recall that back into your life at appropriate times, it's really helpful. And you, if you've got to know, just a number, you don't need too many, just a number. It depends how easily you find things to memorize. You've got that resource. You can always refer to it. So there we go. I'm going to hand over to Rose now. So, but before she does, I just want to pray, because I'm conscious that I've gone through so fast, and I'm going to pray that some of that will stick. Lord God, you inspired scripture. All of it is breathed out by you, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, training in righteousness. It helps us become your servants. And I ask that just some of what was said tonight will stick with us and help us to hear the Spirit's voice as we come to Scripture. Amen.